Hello, this is Inner Monster. This is my first podcast, and I'm literally recording this in the bath. I'm taking a little bit of a chill out time at the moment, and hope that I can, number one, calm down a little bit from recent events. And number two, to give myself some sort of a voice through these podcasts, because at times it's pretty hard to get heard. It's very difficult to be listened to and to be understood. And I think everybody have those problems in life. When you say something and you feel at least that the other person isn't really listening, or they haven't heard you, or they just don't want to understand you and they don't really care. And maybe that's true and maybe that isn't, but at the time anyway, it seems like it is true, and you feel frustrated, you feel angry. And sometimes you feel completely alone and like, maybe nobody understands you. I know that's a broad generalization, but sometimes it feels that way, even if it may not be the reality. So a little bit about my background. I am neurodiverse. I've had previous trauma. I won't go too much into my diagnosis for this episode at least, but I've had trauma since as long as I can remember. And my brain doesn't really work in probably the same way as what's called a neurotypical, which means someone who hasn't really had a traumatic background growing up, which affects your development. It affects the development of the brain as a child. And when you have developmental interruptions like trauma that happens to you as a child, certain things can be more difficult than someone who hasn't experienced abuse, trauma, all that sort of stuff. So the person that I am, I identify as being neurodiverse. I also have physical illnesses. And I've wrestled all of my life, literally, with mental and physical health problems, and that's actually led to me not being able to cope with certain things too easily. A lot of the times I cope, and a lot of the times I just don't. So today, I guess I just wanted to talk about, you know, the theme of why and by the way, it took me ages to actually decide on a name for my podcast. But I think it fits. Sometimes I think with neurodiverse or neurotypical people, it can be difficult to actually wrestle with that inner part of yourself that is angry, that is not acceptable by society, that is socially not acceptable. Sometimes people see you when you're not coping or having a meltdown as, you know, some sort of an aggressor. They see you as someone who, you know, maybe lacking in intelligence. They might see you as someone who's lacking in control. You know, I've been called plain weird or aggressive or all those sorts of, you know, words that I don't think I deserve, to be honest with you, because most of the times I'm just trying to get a message across, and at least from my perspective, it doesn't seem like the other person's even interested in hearing me out. So what do you do when you have this inner monster, this little part of yourself, or maybe a big part of yourself that just can't be tamed, that can't be caged, that can't be trained, and there's not much that you can do? And sometimes it comes out and it rears its ugly, scary head. I haven't really figured out an answer to that, even though I'm nearly 40. So I think today I wrestled with quite a few things. I had a new diagnosis for someone close to me, very close to me, and discovered that they can't necessarily communicate with me in a way that I need. In other words, they can't recognize facial expressions. They can't always pick out tone of voice. And so this affects our communication and our understanding of each other. And that's a major problem because, you know, if you're trying to tell someone something and you've had to repeat yourself over and over again, it can be so frustrating that sometimes even the most sane persons can actually, you know, lose it. And for my health problems, I've wrestled with chronic illness, cancer, and a whole bunch of other things. And for the last few years that I didn't know this about my loved one, who was very close to me, we had a lot of tension in our communication, and it's been really, really hard to even know what was even going on. But recently that's made quite clear through an assessment. Through the assessment, I learned a lot more about myself also, and discovered that I am neurodiverse, and all these terms that describes, you know, a person who may not have grown up in an ideal situation, and that their development had been affected in some way. So sometimes when I am not coping, I'd say probably 60% of the times when I'm not coping, I feel frustrated and angry. And of the other 40%, I just feel depressed and sad and lonely. And the kind of pathological loneliness almost that you feel when you're just not being understood by anyone. And I'm sure that if you're listening to this out there, you probably feel the same way. And especially if you're listening to this on a bad day, you probably feel the same way. Just sad and alone and very, very angry at the world, that even though I think I deserve to be treated with respect and to be treated with understanding, that that's not always been given to me. And I sometimes feel like that inner monster comes out when I feel like no matter what I do or no matter what I say, I can't be understood. And so that ends up a lot of the times in screaming, you know, it's like the best way I can describe it is probably like a baby, you know, like if they can't really get their essential needs met, they'll scream and cry. But that's normal for a baby. It's not quite normal for an adult, or at least it's not socially acceptable for an adult in our globalized, westernized world. And there are very few people who can understand that unless they've, I think, gone through trauma themselves, or that at least I think that's the case. So throughout my whole life, I had tried to mask, you know, who I really am, I think, in order to fit into just any part of the world. And now that I'm nearing 40, I literally have not succeeded in that task that I've set out for myself. And again, without going into my diagnosis just yet, I feel like all my life, I guess it's just been a bit of a wrestle. It's been a fight. I'm exhausted. I am so exhausted from just wanting to be understood in some way. Like, you know, if you want, like, external factors, like if you want your neighbors to stop bringing their dog onto your lawn or something, and you point to the no trespassing sign and they still argue with you that they have every right to be there. And no matter what you do, you can't get them off your property. That kind of, difficulty, to internal difficulties of wrestling with something that's said or something that's communicated to someone, and you say one thing and they've understood a different thing, you know, because we're all, you know, we're all subjective to our experiences. And I understand that, you know, you sometimes have to explain yourself in a way that is not only clear, but from the other person's perspective. And to be honest with you, I really don't know too many people who do that very well, even neurotypicals. And so the internal struggles I think I've had is just, nearly always the theme is I want some part of my needs met. Like, you know, if I'm having a bad day, I would like to be heard. If I'm, you know, having a difficult situation at work, or, you know, at uni or at home, then I want that someone to go, oh, gee, you know, you've had such a bad day. That really sucks. And I don't really know what to say necessarily, but I'm here to listen. And I'll listen and try to understand the best I can. But most of the times I'm met with comments like, okay, can we talk about this later because of whatever reason? And that makes you feel very invalidated. That makes you feel like what you have to say, even though maybe to you, you've had the worst day in the world, or maybe possibly in your life, that they really don't get it. And then it creates this us and them mentality where you feel separated from the world. You feel separated and you don't belong anywhere. Because if you say something and it's not even, you know, heard or understood, and you scream it, and especially when you scream it out, it seems to have the opposite effect, because you're trying so hard to get heard. And if you were that baby and you screamed and nobody came for you, you eventually just give up, don't you? I mean, and when you give up, what's left for there to live for? You know, sometimes I think about that. And, you know, we're creatures of, we're social creatures. And whether or not we like it, we benefit from connecting with others. And we benefit from trying to see the other person's point of view, or just we benefit from some sort of enmeshment with another person in some way, not always, but just in some way that makes you feel like, huh, you know, that person is the same as me. And, you know, studies have shown that, like actually attracts like, and yeah, opposites might attract as well, but it doesn't tend to last. And that's why most people have friends and relationships with people that they can relate to that are nearly the same as them in some aspects, at least. So what do you do when you feel so much that's bottled up inside of you? Not necessarily because you've suppressed it, but because you have no other avenue to actually talk about it with anyone and be understood in a way that you can be understood, or you want to be understood. There's a big difference, you know, if somebody just goes, oh, yeah, I get it. But then you ask them, well, do you really get what it's like to have cancer and, you know, go to the doctors and say, look, you know, I'm having these symptoms, I don't know what it is, and the doctor just tells you, well, it's all in your head. Do you really understand what that is like for me when that happens? And of course, they don't, and nobody's going to ever understand you from, you know, your subjective point of view. But most people don't even try. You know, most people actually don't even know what to say. And because they don't know what to say, they either don't say anything at all, or they actually just stop talking to you altogether. And there's this whole ghosting culture in the world these days, which means that, you know, the person just basically trails off their contact with you, and they don't, they'll contact you less and less and less and less, and then they stop contacting you altogether. And I don't know what good that does to anyone. And then when you confront them, not even confront them, but when you ask them, what did I even do wrong, you know, to make you stop contacting me? They don't want to talk about it, or they accuse you of being aggressively confronting them about, and it's just like, I'm just trying to understand why, so that maybe in my next friendship I can do better. And it seems like I'm nearly always trying and trying and trying and trying so hard to live in a way that is socially acceptable, but I mean, I don't know if someone out there listening to this might feel the same, but I feel like I'm like an alien. I just don't, I'm not what most people think I am. And people are quick to judge. So the topic came up recently of, well, what do you do when somebody has provoked you? You know, for instance, they're trespassing on your property. It's a legally binding word that can lead to an unlawful act of them being uninvited onto your private property. And when you ask them to leave and point out the sign, they still don't leave. That can result in a legal issue. Things like that, it's more clear cut, you know. But still, even though, you know, you're in the right legally, they've still provoked you. And if you've had to tell this person off two to three times, and they know what they're doing and they just keep ignoring, you know, your requests for them to stop doing what they want to do because it makes you feel uncomfortable, or it, you know, creates a problem for you on your private space, because, you know, it's the equivalent of really someone coming into your home uninvited and they're a stranger, you ask them to leave and they don't. It's threatening, it's very uncomfortable, it's extremely frustrating. So what do you actually do, you know? And I haven't come up with an answer to this, because eventually I will get pushed and pushed and pushed. And this has happened, you know, over the course of probably about 4 or 5 years, of people just constantly coming onto our property, letting their dogs poo and pee on our lawn. And then you ask them to leave and they just argue with you that they have every right to be there. Even though they're not living in the unit, they have no legal right to actually be in the unit. And then I lose it because I'm being provoked so much, especially because usually when I do tell people off for this particular issue, I tell them in a very gentle, polite way, and I give them the benefit of the doubt, and I say, look, you know, I know that a lot, it's not, you know, entirely fenced off, but these are the boundaries of the property, and, you know, it is actually private property. It will be the equivalent of me coming into your backyard, letting my dog defecate on your property. But not only that, it's a legal issue. And this has happened so many times that it's released my inner monster recently. And then, of course, even though they're in the wrong, you get in trouble with it. You're the one who is labeled aggressive. You're the one who has been labeled the person with the anger issues. But what they don't know is that you've put up with this for a number of years, and that was just the last straw that broke the camel's back. And I don't know if any of you feel this way as well, but sometimes it seems like it's unfair, you know, to actually blame the person who's being provoked. I'm not trained legally, so I don't really know the legalities of things, but, you know, if you are provoked like that and you lose it, at least the majority of people would see that as, oh well, you lost control. And it's your fault and you're aggressive. But they're ignoring all the other things, like that person is actually committing a criminal act. by trespassing. So I've been struggling my life with this. There was once when, you know, I was getting off public transport, and it was quite a busy day, and, you know, I live in a country that's not quite as bad as other countries when it comes to the busyness and the hecticness of public transport. Not yet, anyway. We're heading towards that direction. but so, a lot of the times, you know, you should let people off the train first, you know, before you get on, because it's just, I don't know why that's not obvious to some people. So anyway, a couple of people got on, blocked my path to get off. So I had to try to squeeze past them. And, you know, because I had a backpack on, the backpack squeezed past them and must have, like, bumped them. And they turned around and really loudly called me an asshole. You know, to me, like, that person is doing the wrong thing and I'm being called an asshole. I didn't say anything back even, you know. And, but you're just seen as this monster. Every time you talk to your partner and you say, well, I've, you know, it really means a lot to me that you help me in some way, for instance, you know, like with the dishes or other domestic chores that most people argue about. Or if you say to them, you know, I really would appreciate it if you could just come and sit next to me and make noises of acknowledgement and validation so that I feel heard, and they still don't do it, or they don't want to do it, or they're not capable of doing it. And you say this over weeks, then you say this over months, and they still don't do it. So you, if you're having a bad day and the one person that you should have trust in has somehow just ignored all these repeated requests to care for you in some way, and then it turns into years, and for some people it turns into decades. And all of a sudden, when that partner who's not being heard lashes out, they're somehow seen as this monstrous thing. But why is that person a monstrous thing when all they've done is request from the one person that they trust and love what they really need, which is just to be listened to? And it's all very unfair, and I know this is probably just a one-sided, immature way of looking at it, but it's often the way that isn't looked at. You know, we live in an increasingly policed nation. We live in this world where people are scared to express their feelings. People are terrified of expressing or even feeling their emotions, especially anger. And that anger, what it warps and it distorts and it turns into this weird, distorted version of yourself. And then it becomes a part of yourself that you have to constantly hide. Because number one, you're not allowed to express it in public. Number two, if you do express it, you might be even put in jail. You know? Number three, how are you going to cope with something that you've never learnt how to cope with? How are you going to say to someone, well, I am, you know, I am functional in terms of daily chores and that sort of thing, but inside I'm dying because I'm harboring this chunk of me, this monster that I don't even know what to do with. And when you go through 20 or so years of therapy, you know, you learn the lingo, you learn the coping strategies, and yet because this is the way that you are in some ways, I'm not saying that people can't change their coping strategies, but for me, as far as I can remember, I've had traumatic event after traumatic event after traumatic event. And on top of that, I had abusive caregivers who never taught me how to relate to the world in a so-called healthy way. And because of those things, maybe, you know, you attract trouble. And when you do attract trouble, you try your best to cope with whatever's at hand. But you can't, because you are not that way. And any way that you try to cope with that subscribes to a socially acceptable version of yourself, it's just all pretending. And it never feels like you're truly healed in any way, because you constantly have to pretend. You have to pretend that you're okay. You have to pretend that you're not feeling intense rage. You have to pretend that you're not so low and sad and depressed that you have thought about maybe even ending your life. And I just want to add a disclaimer here that, you know, I think we should talk about it, but if you are seriously thinking of planning to end your life in any way, please, please just pick up that phone and call Lifeline or something, you know. It could mean the difference between you feeling like you just can't get through the day and just giving you that very slight hope that someone can hear you and at least they're kind of trying to help in some way. And that brings me to my next point, I guess, and that is that I feel like a lot of the times I don't have any personal relationships that I can rely on. I can't really talk to my... I haven't got family that I can talk to even anywhere near the way that I need to talk to. I haven't got any friends that I can completely 100% disclose everything to, and they just get it. And now that I've discovered my loved one is literally not able to process my emotions and understand it in a way that makes sense to him, And the only people who can hear me and maybe even try to listen are if I pick up the phone to talk to emergency staff, crisis helplines, or someone that I have to pay for to just listen to me. And that puts me into a really, really lonely and desperate and enraged place. And this isn't a recent thing, you know. Like for the 40 years that I, nearly 40 years that I've been alive, this has been the case. And I'm sure that I'm not the only one who feels this way. And maybe I'm trying too hard sometimes, I thought. And other times I thought maybe I'm not trying in the right way, or that I'm doing it wrong somehow. And maybe I'm doing the mindfulness meditation wrong. Maybe I'm just not doing something right. And maybe I'm just going to have to put up with feeling this intense aloneness and sadness and rage for the rest of my life. And I don't blame other people necessarily, but I think instead I wish that there are people out there who can see beyond what they can see immediately with their eyes or hear immediately with their voice or with their ears, rather, and with somebody's voice, well, most of the times being mine. Like if I say something in a passionate way, people see that as being aggressive. You know, if I feel passionate about something and I kind of push the issue a little bit, that's very aggressive. It's very confrontational, you know. So that's really hurtful to be wrongly accused, I think. You feel wrongly accused. Because at least in your mind, you know, you haven't done anything wrong, and all you tried to do was say it in a as clear and loud way as you can, and it has the opposite effect. So I'm not quite sure sometimes how to even talk to people. I mean, on a deeper level than just the superficial. So all my life I've kind of learnt this way of just dealing with things myself. And it's really hard to deal with stuff yourself when you're experiencing it at the same time. It's very hard to cope with something that you're struggling with when those coping strategies that you learn in therapy, it just goes out the window. It just gets flushed down the toilet, goes down the drain. And when your brain is in overdrive and you're overwhelmed and you feel completely and utterly desperately overwhelmed, and you're unable to regulate your emotions, you can't control your emotions, and you've had a lifetime of being pushed to that point, and you never learned how to actually live in a normal way. Like for me, normal was being abused, being yelled at for defending myself from my abusers, having to shut myself in my room because there are, you know, strange people walking around all over the house because of the business that my parents had, one of my parents had. Living, you know, from a very early age with people screaming all the time, you know, you learn that that's kind of the only way to communicate. And even after 20 years of therapy, when my buttons are pushed, I just can't cope. I can't cope with that. And somebody made a good point the other day, and they said, you know, if somebody else provokes you and you lose it, and then you end up getting in trouble for it, you know, what does that do to you? What does that do to you? Because the other person is often, maybe not fine, but the other person is often not in trouble, at least. And I thought of all the examples that's been given to me over the years of, well, you know, you can't, it's like the old saying, if you drink poison yourself and you expect the other person to die, it just doesn't work. You know, you're the one who's affected by the anger and things like that. And I know that, and I've learned my coping strategies to a point where I can, you know, control that. But at the same time, it feels so unnatural, you know, it feels so unnatural to be the bigger man or be the bigger woman, to pick yourself up and just go, well, I'm just going to dust myself off and walk away, when what you actually feel is injustice that has not been, that you don't even deserve a trial in some way. You know, and that's really deeply hurtful, to the point where I think you feel angry about it because it's so unfair. So throughout my whole life, there's countless examples of injustice happening to me. And recently I've discovered that a lot of those injustices happened because people who have had childhood trauma are actually more susceptible to becoming more traumatized in the course of their lives. They're more prone to becoming chronically ill. They're more prone to somehow be more affected by violence. They're more prone to be more affected by trouble, basically. You know, they somehow attract these trouble to them because of their previous experiences. I mean, not as in they deserve it. Obviously they don't. Nobody deserves to be treated badly. But I read that in a study, this lady went out into a pretty poor country, and she recorded thousands of children's backgrounds and followed them over the course of their lives, and discovered that every single one of those children who had experienced trauma in their childhood had developed eventually some sort of chronic health problem, heart disease, cancer, chronic illness. And I think as a world, we're heading towards that direction when everybody has some sort of trauma in their lives. Maybe not everybody, obviously, but you know, a lot of people, maybe the majority of people, have experienced some sort of trauma in their lives. However big or small you see them, if it's traumatizing to them, then sure, you know, and they feel like these little soldiers from a very young age who have to battle something. And every time something comes at them, even if it's, you know, someone just walking onto your property, trespassing, you feel that that is a severe threat and you react accordingly. And then maybe you get put in jail. But you don't have the coping mechanism to actually deal with that. And the cycle repeats and it repeats and it repeats. And at the same time, these very people who have no support, no solidarity, they have very little. A lot of the times these people fall into lower socioeconomic situations. And a lot of these people end up on the wrong side of the street, so to speak, you know, or the wrong side of the law. I'm not one of them, thankfully. But there are times when I thought, God, you know, I think I could be that homeless person, or I think if that were me in jail, you know, I think I'd probably end up in the same position if I felt so desperate, you know. But thankfully I'm not. But at the same time, these very people who are having trouble expressing themselves in a so-called normal, you know, socially acceptable way, when they get in trouble, they're not only locked up or institutionalized or put away or punished severely, they're also not allowed to express themselves in a way that, you know, may be constructive even, because they don't know how. And when they express their anger, it comes out as aggression. When they express their sadness, it comes out as aggression. When they express their vulnerabilities, it comes out as rage. And I mean, I'm not justifying crimes or anything here, but when does this cycle stop? When can we stop punishing people for being angry and start understanding why they're angry? Maybe we can prevent crime that way, I don't know. You know, I think everybody should take up martial arts, to be honest. You know, if you punch it out on a bag, the physical benefits of that exercise, it literally helps you to deal with the emotional trouble that you're experiencing. It doesn't always work, though, especially long-term. It's a lot of the times a short-term solution. Because long-term, it's a part of who you are, this rage, this monster in you. And it's really painful to have to think that you have to hide this part of you from the world forever. And that nobody can see it, because if somebody saw that part of you that is the monster, you would be punished severely. You would be even more isolated than what you already are. And some of these reflective practices that happen in therapy, it's pretty hard to do when you're in the middle of a meltdown or enraged about something. I think this probably brings me to my last point, and that is that no matter where you are, no matter who you are or what kind of background you come from, unless you're, you know, a pure clinical psychopath, in which emotions feel a little bit different than the average person, I guess. I think most people are the same, you know, they just want to be listened to, they want to be heard, they want to be understood, they want to just have a chance to explain themselves in a way that is reasonable. They just want to be able to communicate in a way that someone can connect with them, that someone can connect with them in a way that makes them feel like maybe they're actually acceptable in the world. And maybe that's missing. It's that, you know, we keep persecuting we keep punishing people for feeling emotions. And then at the same time, we encourage them to feel those emotions, but only if you express them in a certain way. I mean, I'm not saying that I should express my anger at people necessarily, maybe at a punching bag. But at the same time, there currently isn't punching bag based therapy. unless you enroll yourself in a martial arts school. But there's goods and bads in life, and I guess, you know, the monstrous part of yourself, if that's always in the background, I don't even know what to do with that for the rest of my life. It's just going to follow me. I can never go to a party or any sort of situation that involves other people being in the same room without a conscious effort to hide this part of me that is socially unacceptable by the world. And that's very painful, and it's very lonely. It's a very desperate place to be. And it makes you sometimes feel like you just don't, maybe you just, you know, don't belong anywhere sometimes. So in the end, I think the only thing that has helped me amongst all the textbooks worth of coping strategies is to just accept what I'm feeling. You know, sometimes it makes it far worse. If I'm feeling angry and I say, no, I'm not angry, I'm not angry, I'm not angry, no, not angry, I'm fine, I'm fine, I am fine, you know, and eventually you blow a fuse and you lose it and you get angry at the wrong person who doesn't deserve it. As hard as it is to do this, if you can do this with me, right now, that would give me some sort of telepathical comfort, I think, in knowing that I'm just not alone. But if you can just sit with your emotion for now, whatever you're feeling, especially if it's a difficult feeling, just feel it and just, I don't know, give it a shape. If you're an imaginative type, or give it like a color of something. Where is the feeling? If you're not the imaginative type, just feel it in your body. Where is the tension? You might feel that your shoulders might be tight, your neck might be tight, your jaw might be clenched. Maybe your fingers and your fist are clenched. Maybe there's some muscle in your body that's quite tight. From your toes up to your ankles. Leading up to your knees. To your thighs. Hips, stomach. And leading up to your rib cage. Your torso, your arms. Where is that tension? For me right now, it's in the middle of my stomach. It's in my gut. Where is it for you? Are your eyes squinting? Is your face, are your facial muscles quite tight? What is happening in your body? And just say, it's okay. It's okay, body. If you're feeling that way, it's all right. Maybe nobody else accepts you for this, but if you're feeling anxiety, if you're feeling pain or discomfort in your body, tell that part of your body you're okay. You're okay. As in, you're acceptable. It's acceptable and possibly even normal for you to feel that way right now. You can sigh if you feel like there's some tension releasing. And now just go into focusing on your breath. And just notice, you know, you don't have to necessarily even close your eyes if you don't want to. What's your breath doing? Is it fast or slow? Is your breath quite labored? Are you doing that anxiety breathing when you're kind of not breathing from your diaphragm in your stomach, but you're breathing with your shoulders all tight and hunched up? What are you doing with your breath? What's the breath doing? And just let it normally happen. You can take deep breaths if you want. And just say, you know what? Breath, you're anxious or you're labored or it's difficult for you to breathe, or if your chest is tight, it's okay. That's pretty normal and understandable considering your circumstances and what you just experienced. And just sit with whatever you're feeling and have acceptance of what you're feeling. Accept yourself. Accept that you are feeling shit. It's okay to feel shit every now and then. It's okay to feel this way, especially if you just can't, if you can't do anything else. Bring yourself back into your body. Bring yourself back into your breath. And tell yourself that it's acceptable to feel this way right now. If you did that with me, I am really, really thankful. And I have no idea how many of these podcasts I'm going to be making from now on. And I'm not very good at being regular with things. So I'm going to say bye for now. But until next time, I hope that you do a lot of self-care. I know that I'm going to do quite a lot of self-care, one of those involving eating something nice. And hopefully someone's listening to this, and maybe I'll have more reasons to make these things. But for now, this is probably going to be as unstructured as my brain is. So thanks very much for listening if you did. And I hope that your next hour or your next day gets a tiny, tiny little bit better than today. If you're struggling. If you're happy, I'm happy for you. All right, bye for now.